It always seemed a little strange to me, that passage, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden light. How can a yoke be easy? How can a burden be light? It's still a burden. It's still a yoke. It's like so many passages in Scripture that seem like an oxymoron. You know, how can you have these two things coexisting side by side and somehow both be true? But actually, Jesus is giving a wonderful analogy that we're not used to because we don't farm with horses anymore. So we don't really know what a yoke was or how it worked. But a yoke was usually made of leather, and it fit over the animal's shoulders, and it was fitted to the animal. Sometimes they were even custom made for each animal. And so if it was fitted right, then it actually eased the burden. It gave a certain leverage, sort of like a fulcrum. You know, if you're doing something with a screwdriver that long, you can't move this object. But if you have a crowbar 6 feet long, you can easily move that. It's all about leverage and about something designed to do the job. And a yoke was designed for the animal to do the job easily. Still a job. It's still a burden. But the burden actually is lifted considerably by a good yoke. So Jesus is encouraging us to take on his yoke instead of the yoke of the world. Now let's flip to the second reading from Paul's letter to the Romans. He's talking about life in the flesh and life in the spirit. And by flesh, Paul doesn't mean body in the way we normally think of flesh. He means the attachment to the world. He means the original sin, the sin of Adam and Eve, that attaches us to this world and seeks our salvation here instead of in God. And the spirit is the opposite. It's seeing our salvation in God and attaching ourselves to that. So one of the things that, if Paul were here, he probably would agree with this explanation, I hope. No lightning, please. It's all about the false self and the true self. The false self is the one that I invent, the one that I think I should be or that would be pleasing to God or to others. And it's largely determined by this world. So I think I need to be more beautiful. I need to be smarter. I need to be stronger. I need to have more degrees. I need to drive a better car. All those things that the world is constantly feeding us subliminally, that somehow we are inadequate, that we're never enough. So when we get this car, we want a different one. When we get this house, we want a bigger one. We are never satisfied because we're putting the yoke of the world on shoulders that it doesn't fit, because we are created in the image of God, and so therefore we should be acting more like Christ. Then, if we acted like Christ, if we had his spirit, as Paul tells the Romans, then we wouldn't be having so much difficulty. We wouldn't be struggling against such a weight. But because the false self is always controlling us, or at least attempting to control us, we're allowing ourselves over and over again, day after day, to take on that burdensome yoke that is never going to free us. We're never going to be satisfied. We're never going to be saved. So Christ says, take my yoke on your shoulders and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. This is who the Son of God is. He's the meek one. He's the humble one. He is the one who forever, not just on the cross 2,000 years ago, not just that one moment in history, but for eternity, the nature of the Son is to lay down his life. And that's a burden. But it is relieved and lightened and given rest by the fact that the other two persons of the Trinity are doing the same thing for him. So this laying down of life is actually freedom. It's not drudgery. And we have to learn from Christ. We have to learn from him how God acts and how God loves and how true freedom and authentic salvation could look and how it could feel. It's the being for others. And that's why Jesus says in so many different places, the only way to gain your life is to lose your life. The only way to pick it up is to lay it down. And Paul says, this is the same Spirit of Christ that raised Jesus from the dead. And if that Spirit can raise Jesus from the dead, those who are joined to him, who have become his body, they're going to be raised from the dead too. And not just in some future moment in the kingdom, but Jesus is also telling us the kingdom is now. The kingdom is in your midst. The kingdom is in your heart. If you change yokes and put on the easy, light one now, you will experience salvation now. You'll be living the resurrected life now. This is not one of those silly games that we often imagine where we're nose to the grindstone, unhappy, burdened now so that God will reward us later. Jesus doesn't present that kind of a God. Jesus doesn't present that kind of a yoke. He's saying, I want to relieve your burden now. I want you to know now and experience now this salvation that's available to you. Access it. Take advantage of it. Don't be pushing it off to the next world, to the next life. Access it now. But it amounts to a choice. It amounts to a small burden. I love that opening prayer for today. It's a strange prayer. O God, who in the abasement of your Son. First thing I think of is, what was he doing in a basement anyway? You know, it's a strange word that we don't use often in our American English. Abasement. But what it means is that he took on our base human condition. He took on the burden of our sin. And it was not an easy yoke. It cost him the cross. It was a yoke that did not fit him because he was God. And the yoke of sin was an ill-fit yoke. So it was heavy and it was burdensome for him. But he took that on himself so that we could take on his light yoke. So that he could fit us to a yoke that earns our salvation, that frees us even in the present life.